The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. More European football to look forward to with action in the Champions League and the Europa League. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you, Lee?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Very good.
We'll start with a quick look back at the weekend action as well, as we usually do on the midweek edition of The Punt. All change as well. New league leaders in the shape of Manchester United. Another defeat for Manchester City. Chelsea could only manage a draw. Those people that said the league was done and dusted, maybe thinking again.
Yeah, and every single season we seem to get people telling us, you know, oh, that's it, it's done. This Premier League is so open. And what I mean by that is that, you know, there's so many teams from lower down the table who can beat anyone on a given day. You know, you look now, Man City 5-6, Arsenal 7-2, Man United 4-1. Chelsea's still the biggest of those four, which I do find surprising. I know they drew at Newcastle, but I do think they are the team who are most capable of going on a long unbeaten run when they really start to click. So, if you've backed City at a short price, I'd be a little bit worried at the minute, to be honest with you. All their focus is on the Champions League. Now, when they come out of the Champions League, maybe we'll find them focusing back on the Premier League. But by then, if they drop out early, then they may be looking at having a new manager and in all sorts of turmoil anyway. So I think City without Kompany, we said at the start of the season, with him in the team and having had a restful summer, they're a different animal. And when they're missing him, that they are just not the same team. So I wouldn't touch Man City at 5-6 with a barge pole.
Yeah, well, you look at the team from the weekend, the spine of the team was, you know, the players that stand out for them when they're playing well.
Yeah.
Kompany, Torre, Joe Hart.
Yeah, and I think that is, you know, I think that's a real blow for them, especially, you know, the keeper. He started off all right in the game, but he didn't didn't do too well in the end. But yeah, so I mean, I'm still all over Chelsea, to be fair. You know, even at an each way price.
8 points in it though, is it already a
no,
massive margin?
No, because you know what it's like in the Premier League. You know, everyone. I think Man United and Arsenal and City will all go through sticky patches, and maybe Chelsea have had this.
All right. What do you make of Manchester United then, sitting top of the pile? Not necessarily played the most entertaining football this year, but it seems to be working. A good win at the weekend. Whereabouts are they now in terms of challenging for the title?
Well, I mean, I think they're pretty much where they were, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, obviously they're a good team. They've got quality players. You know, Martial's been a wonder signing, hasn't he? Rooney's started to score his goals now. Yeah, I think they've got quality throughout, and I think they are where they were before. I mean, I put them up to finish second to Chelsea in the Premier League in my straight forecast. That might not happen now because of the way Chelsea have started. But, you know, look, this is what they've got coming up, Mark. And then we'll find an awful lot about them. Away at Arsenal, away at Everton, home to Manchester City, next three games. Then they're away at Palace, home to West Brom. So they've got three huge games coming up. Now, you know, that will be a massive test of their championship credentials. If they can come out of that still at the top of the table, then that's fantastic. Obviously, around that as well, they've got Champions League football. They've got a trip to Moscow after Everton and before City. So, you know, it's not an easy run of fixtures for them. I think we'll find out a lot over the next few weeks whether they're the real deal. I just don't see them being quite strong enough to win it.
All right, it'd be interesting with that Arsenal result as well, because should Arsenal beat Manchester United, they'll be level on points with them and right up the top end of the table as well. Yeah. And people kind of cribbed Arsenal a little bit earlier on this season.
Yeah, but they're still weak, mate. I still think they're weak. They've got such weakness in them. They'll score five, they concede two. Great. Looks like a great result and all the rest of it. But somewhere deep down in that Arsenal team, there isn't the belief for me.
Liverpool going to get anywhere near?
No.
Fair enough.
Look, if Sturridge comes back and starts playing week in, week out and can stay fit, then they'll do a lot better than they have been doing. But that's a big if for Sturridge's injury record and his own admission that he's got some, it seems like he's got some physiological problems that stop him being fit all the time.
He's got two wonderful goals as well, didn't he?
Oh, just like, it was almost like everyone else has stopped playing for both of them. Do you know what I mean? They were that good that the first one was a peach. Mm. The second one, didn't you think it was almost like everyone kind of went...
Stood still and he's running through them.
It was like, I mean, that's only because of how good he is. So, yeah, great. I love both goals.
All right, shall we move on?
Just one quick one on the top scorer market.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. Aguero, 130. Alexis Sanchez, 12-1. Martial, 14-1. Sturridge, 16s. Costa, 16s. Gomez, 20-1. Benteke, 20s. Pele, 20s. Lukaku, 20s. I'm doing all these because I'm going to get to my player in a minute. I want to have a quick chat about 25 to 1 Harry Kane, 25 is Vardy, 25 is Giroud, and 25 is Theo Walcott. Now, I've never been the biggest Theo Walcott fan in the world, right? And this is just an each-way shout. But when you look at Theo Walcott's performances when he starts games for Arsenal, he is a goal scorer in that position. They're trying to play him up front. He's admitted that he's trying to learn the game. He's trying to develop his game. And I thought at the weekend he was much better. You know, he was hanging on the shoulder. I mean, Leicester played into his kind of into his game, if you like. But I was just looking back at, you know, he only scored, you know, 5 goals in the Premier League last season. You know, you look at how many starting lineups he was in. 4.
Yeah.
14 substitute appearances.
Terrible time with injuries,
yeah,
didn't he?
The season before that, scored 5 goals, 9 starts, lots of substitute appearances. Season before that, 14. Now he started 24 games in that season. If he can get a run in the team, and I think Wenger wants him to have a run in the team, I think he can score more goals this season, given that he's going to be the forefront of their attack, we think, with Sanchez playing behind him. It seems to me, if Walcott was fit and had mastered that centre-forward idea, he would get the nod ahead of Giroud, in my book. I think that's the way Wenger's going to go. It's just a bit of an outside shout. We need him to stay fit, which isn't a given, as we've seen. You know, he hasn't got over 1,000 playing minutes in either of the last 2 seasons, which, you know, you really should be doing. So it's a big if, I admit that, but I just think it's a big price for a team who will score lots of goals if he's going to be their centre-forward. So you're looking at 25-1, an each-way bet there, really, if you... agree with me, which many probably won't. Probably laughing at their iPhone or whatever they listen to this on at the moment. But yeah, 25-1, so a quarter of the odds for a place in the top 4. And you only need 16, 17 goals to finish in the top 4 in the Premier League top scorer market. So, interesting one.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I'm a big fan of Theo Walcott, and his finishing is very good at the moment.
Yeah.
The way he opens his body, and he's kind of learned from Thierry Henry a little bit in the past. Yeah. I know he was a big fan of him, and if he can just replicate that and get, you know, 10, 15 goals, and
yeah,
I can see where you come from.
You're in with a shout, aren't you?
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Let's move on to the Champions League and Europa League action then this week. We'll start with Tuesday's games, obviously. Arsenal against Olympiacos is the first match that we'll look at. Arsenal are 2-5. The draw is 7-2. Olympiacos are 7-1. Things didn't go to plan for Arsenal in match week 1. And Olympiacos, whilst they're okay, Arsenal should be beating them at home, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should be. Can't touch them at 2-5, though. It's a little bit short for me, that is, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, I've got a few misgivings about Arsenal, but yeah, they should win the game. Olympiacos are pretty poor away from home, to be honest with you. They don't replicate any of their reasonable results they get at the home stadium. But Arsenal first, you know, you look at their recent home form in the Champions League, just going back to last season, lost 3-1 to Monaco, drew 3-3 with Anderlecht, 4-1 against Galatasaray. You know, it's not like they're absolutely fantastic. They do concede goals. Did beat Borussia Dortmund 2-0. Dortmund had 8 shots in that game, 5 of them on target. So, you know, on another day, they could have easily scored. What I'm saying here is that you might get an Arsenal win, but I think you'll get both teams to score here as well. Now, Olympiacos, it's worth mentioning that their away record in the Champions League only featured 2 goals last season. They'd scored 2 at Juventus, believe it or not, but lost 4-0 to Atletico, 2-0 to Malmo, 3-0 to Man United, and they haven't got a great record at English clubs. But the last time they came to Arsenal was in October 2012, and they lost 3-1 when Mitroglou scored. I'm thinking something similar here as well. An Arsenal win, but both teams scoring. They've got a couple of players at Olympiacos who've been in good nick. Konstantinos Fortunis, 3-2, both in the Greek Super League. He's also been scoring away from home, and Jimmy Dermots has got 3-3 as well in the domestic league. I know it's a bit of a step up, but I think Arsenal's defence can be a little porous. So the both teams to score is 4-5. Arsenal to win and the both teams to score is another one that I've been looking at. Or, you know, Arsenal to win and over 2.5. If you don't think that Olympiacos will get a goal, then the Arsenal to win and over 2.5 might be of interest to you, given that, you know, they could score 3, you know, at home. It's a possibility. So the Arsenal to win and both teams score is 2-1. The Arsenal to win and over 2.5 goals in the match is priced up at 17-20. So you can see the difference in prices there based on Olympiacos win. The other one I like, Mark, is I've been banging on about Alexis Sanchez scoring for most of the season, and he's taken it a while to get going, but got his hat-trick, of course, on Saturday for Arsenal. He's 5-6 to score. It's 6-4 for him to score and Arsenal to win on the headline offer. I quite like both of those, really, to be honest with you. There's also another one. To score from outside the area, Alexis Sanchez, 6-1.
That's not too bad. Yeah. He's got a pearler at the weekend from outside the area.
Yeah, like that. He'll be having a shot. He loves a shot, doesn't he? Confidence is up.
Yep.
You know, I think before the weekend, I read the stat out that I think he'd had like 35 shots on goal in the Premier League and hadn't scored. So it's not like he's shy in front of goal, is it? And I think he'll get opportunities against Olympiacos. So, yeah, a few there. I do like the Sanchez one. Just to him to score and Arsenal to win. But my nap on the pump was Arsenal to win and both teams to score at Leicester. So I'll go for that again at 2-1. Arsenal to win. Both teams to score 2-1.
No mention of Theo Walcott.
No, I mean, it's whether he plays or not, isn't it? You know, I'll be interested to see if he leads a line here. The thing about him, though, is that just on this match, he's shorter priced than Alexis Sanchez to score. And I think Alexis Sanchez will get more opportunities than Theo Walcott because he'll be marked tighter, I think. And Sanchez has got more opportunities, you know, to make space and he's better at making space for himself. So, yeah, just on a pure price play there, I think 4-5 is a little short for Walcott in this game, anytime.
There's a mug bet here, isn't there, as well? Joel Campbell.
Yes,
he made a bit of a name for himself at Olympiacos. Do you think Wenger will be sentimental and let him play?
Yeah, he might do, but 21-20?
Short enough, isn't it? Yeah.
Damn me. I mean, it's all these prices are short because of Arsenal's 2-5 price. That's why I think bringing that Olympiacos goal in there just give you that extra little bit of value. And that's why I've kind of cottoned on to that bet rather than going for an Arsenal over 2.5 or an Arsenal and Sanchez to score or something like that. I just think it represents, you know, a bit better value. And I think Olympiacos, you know, have got a goal in them this season.
Moving on to Porto against Chelsea next then. Porto 17-10, the draw 2-1, Chelsea 9-5. Jose Mourinho going back to Porto is obviously going to catch a lot of the headlines. Will his team come away with a win early?
Ooh, that's a good question. really good question. I mean, Porto, you know, last dropped points at home in any game in December 2014 when they lost domestically. That includes a win against Bayern Munich, 3-1. Do you remember last year? And they won 3-1 at home to Bayern. Lost 6-1 in Germany, by the way.
Yeah.
But, 17 straight wins. Not even a draw since that defeat in December 2014. I think it was against Sporting or Benfica, one of the two, I can't remember now. So they were a very good team at home, very good team in the Champions League at home. They beat Bale 4-0 last season, only drew 1-1 with Shakhtar, beat Athletic Club 2-1, so they had a pretty tricky group as well, really, or a testing group. Chelsea's away form last year wasn't particularly fantastic. They did score in all four, though. They beat Sporting 1-0. Maybe a little bit of collateral form there because Sporting and Porto are very similar levels in quality. Drew 1-1 with Maribor last year and beat Schalke 5-0 before drawing 1-1 at Paris Saint-Germain. I don't know if they'll get the win here now. I'm looking at the draw here. I mean, Chelsea is such a good team with Mourinho at the helm in Europe. It's like he knows what to do, and I think he'll be keen to kind of go and almost do a job, you know, here. I always think he wouldn't want to go and show off in front of Porto. He would like to go and do a job and make sure they don't lose in Portugal. Yeah, it's a tricky one. 16-5, the draw, and both teams to score. Cause I do think both teams will score here. I can see a 1-1 draw. I mean, the both teams to score is... and not the most attractive price. It's not bad, you know. It's not like a terrible price, 19-20. So you know, it's all right. I think as a weakling, I'll play both teams to score on its own. But I do like that draw on both teams to score as well. It's, like I said, 16-5. The 1-1 draw is 11-2. Costa with a rest. You'd imagine we'll come back into the team. He's at odds against to score here, but his scoring record hasn't been particularly fantastic for me. I do think in general, though, watching Chelsea, that some of their players are starting to come back to form. Fabregas looked a lot better against Newcastle. I know they were shocking the first half by, you know, Mourinho said they were -1 out of 10, I think he said they were, which is a low mark in anyone's book. But I do think they're starting to come back into it, and I think they will use the Champions League to kind of sharpen their form even more. Porto are a good team at home.
Alright, Ramirez, let's mention him. He came on at the weekend and completely changed the game for Chelsea. I thought it was fantastic. He's not one you'd normally look for in goal scorer markets, but the fact he had so many chances at the weekend, 11-2, a little bit of a sneaky player there, maybe?
Well, it's our friend and colleague DK, Dave Carlo. He's long been an admirer, and he went through a phase of putting him up for goals. It's one of those, isn't he, where he breaks from midfield really well, you know, and arrives in the box. He's a good finisher. But it's one of those that you kind of like, if you got on the Ramirez bandwagon, you'd miss it 3 weeks and you'd lose faith and he'll score one. It's catching him. That's the tricky bit. You know, that is the problem, really. So, I see what you mean. And, you know, the interesting thing is, Mark, last year, when you look at Chelsea's games away from home last year, you know, Matic was the goal scorer in the first two away games. He scored at Sporting, scored at Maribor. So they were relying on midfielders to come from deep to get the goals. Ivanovic scored their only goal in Paris. So, you know, it's not like, you know, everyone was... It was all about the forwards. Ramirez himself scored in that 5-0 win against Schalke as well. So there were a few kind of midfielder, defensive kind of area goals. John Terry scored against Schalke. In fact, when you look at the away games last year in the Champions League, there was only Willian and Didier Drogba who scored away from home for Chelsea, who were forward players, from a total of 8 goals. Just 2 strikers or 2 front-playing players scored. So maybe adds a bit of credence to that idea that, you know, Ramirez might be worth a look at 11-2.
Right, and just going back to the player against his former club kind of idea as well, Radamel Falcao scored plenty of goals for Porto not too many years ago. 9-5 to score any time. Does it bring him back to life going back to Porto?
I like that. I like that better than the Costa bet.
Yeah?
Yeah. I do. I mean, probably if he starts, that would be a big surprise, I suppose, wouldn't it? But... you never know with Mourinho.
It would be the kind of thing that Mourinho would do, wouldn't he?
You could start him and then, you know, you could easily back him and play the super sub as well then. You've got the super sub on your side. If he gets substituted and you know, say Costa comes on.
You're laughing at it, really.
Yeah.
It's not a bad substitute.
No, it's not. It's a good price, that, Mark, actually. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Wednesday's games. Both Manchester clubs in action on Wednesday. We'll start with Manchester United against Wolfsburg. Man United are 3-4. The draw 5-2. Wolfsburg are 4-1. Man United were in front against PSV in the first round. Mm. At first round of fixtures. I thought they'd probably win from there and just fell apart from them a little bit.
That shocking injury, wasn't there? And, you know, things just seemed to slip away from them here in that game. Wolfsburg returned to Champions League football with a 1-0 win against CSKA Moscow, which kind of like... I mean, they've been very good at home, to be fair, Wolfsburg. Much better at home domestically and in the Champions League than they have been away from home this season. Last played in the Champions League, and the only time they've ever played in the Champions League was back in 2009 when they visited Manchester United, in fact, and lost 2-1 when Dzeko scored for Wolfsburg and Giggs and Carrick scored for United. They also they won in Besiktas that season and lost 2-1 at CSKA Moscow. But yeah, obviously it's a slightly different thing now with a slightly different team. Their away form has been pretty poor. Lost 5-1 to Bayern Munich in that infamous Lewandowski show when they just got, you know, they were winning until the 50th minute. I mean, everyone in the world knows about this now. And then Lewandowski hit those 5. But you know, you look at the form overall this season away from home, it's not clever. The one win they've had was in the cup against Stuttgart Kickers, you know, who obviously are a Bundesliga team. Won healthily there, to be fair. They're in the third tier of the Bundesliga. The Stuttgart Kickers beat them 4-1, so still conceded there. I think Man United get their I think they get their account open here at home. I'd be very surprised if they don't. Wolfsburg are a good side. They have got goals in them. You know, you only have to look at the home games. You know, you look at, you know, obviously players like Julian Draxler are fantastic players. Still got closer. So, you know, Bas Dost is knocking the goals in at home. So, you know, there are good players in this team. I'm just looking whether they score or not here. I mean, that, you know, 3-4 Man United to win. I think that should land, but I'm not massively confident at odds on. So I might be looking again here at the Man United to win and both teams to score. I think Wolfsburg might sit in and try and hit them on the break. 13-5. Yeah, I'm not massively confident. You know, the one bet that I really liked was the over 2.5 goals at 4-5. And I think I'll swerve the results completely. Like I said, I do think Man United will get this underway. If they don't win here, they can kiss the Champions League goodbye, in my opinion, in a group that they really should be doing, they should be getting through. You know, I think they need a win here. You know, their other opponents, you know, CSKA Moscow and PSV, as we already know, They have to win this game for me. They really do. You have to win your home games, obviously. So I'll just play a pretty measly, boring over 2.5 at 4-5. You know, the Champions League games so far that they've played have featured over 2.5. 3-1 Club Brugge, 4-0 away at Club Brugge, and the 2-1 against PSV. So I'll stick with that.
Yeah, you mentioned they should be getting through this group. They should be winning this group.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. You're right.
All right. Man United then, leaning towards them in that one. And let's move to the team from the other side of Manchester. Manchester City are away at Borussia Mönchengladbach. Mönchengladbach are 3-1, the draw 5-2. Man City are 10-11. It's all going wrong for Man City, Lee. Did they get back on track here?
Good question. I mean, you know, BMG, as we'll call them. They've just started firing goals in the Bundesliga. Scored 4 against Augsburg. And obviously, I'm not saying Augsburg are any good. They're in the relegation zone. And scored 3 at the weekend against Stuttgart as well. So maybe just finding a little bit of form, of confidence. Lost 3-0 in Seville, Sevilla. Held them till half-time. And then they couldn't do any better than that. Look, they've only been in the Champions League once before. Didn't do particularly well then. I mean, look at City's games, though, just in general. Since that 1-0 win at Crystal Palace, lost 2-1 to Juventus, lost 2-1 to West Ham, won 4-1 at Sunderland, and lost 4-1 at Tottenham, of course. I think we can see. I think we'll get a goal from Borussia Mönchengladbach here. I think, you know, obviously check team news, check that Joe Hart is fit to play. He was on the bench, so you'd imagine he would play in this one. Have a look at that Man City defence before you have a bet here. And if it is weakened down in any shape or form, I'm having Borussia Mönchengladbach to get on the score sheet here. I mean, the 3-1 to win the match, I don't think it's quite big enough. I think, you know, of all the games that Man City have had in the Champions League over recent seasons, and let's be fair to them, they don't have easy groups. Do you know what I mean? I mean, look at the games they have. Barcelona, Roma, Bayern Munich. It's not easy for them. Even Moscow aren't an easy team to go to. The last easy games they had, really, I think, was when they had Victoria Plzeň in their group. You know, so, you know, but even then they were beating them 4-2 at home. You know, so I think this is the first time they've had a relatively easy team. Borussia Mönchengladbach are 14th in the Bundesliga. I think City go and win, but there's so little confidence in backing them at 10-11. I mean, you quite liked them before the start of the Champions League. You kind of went along the lines that I've been going on, and I kind of wanted to do it again this season. But having watched their naivety, yeah, it's hard to back them at odds on, isn't it? Even though they should win this. If this is a comparable Premier League team, they're not 10-11, and they go and win this game. No question in my mind about that. But there's some mental block when it comes to Champions League football with them. I'll tell you what I'll go for. I think they'll score goals. I'm not confident on the actual price, but Sergio Aguero's 10-11. So I'll play Sergio. I think Sergio Aguero is a better bet at that price than Manchester City are at 10-11. But I do think they could score a couple of goals here.
What do you make of Man City to win and both teams to score then? Because that's 5-2, and that becomes an attractive price.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that, yeah. I mean, over 2.5 goals is 7-10, so the traders think there's going to be goals in the game.
Yeah.
You know, you look, I mean, it's a funny bet that both teams to score one, because if we scroll down to the goals section and look at the price of Borussia Mönchengladbach to score a goal in the match, it's 2-5.
Yeah.
Go figure that out. So they're 2-5 to score a goal, which I think most of us would say is a short price. Yeah, you know, for just adding that in to the Man City 10-11 gives us 5-2. I know it's not a clean double, if you like.
No.
But, you know, because they could, you know, go goal up and all the rest of it. But, yeah, I could play that, Mark. You know, I'm a little bit skeptical against Man City, and I feel like they almost need to earn my betting trust back again in the Champions League before I back them at odds on. But Aguero needs to earn nothing off me. Ever.
All right. Moving on to the Europa League then on Thursday evening. We'll start with Monaco at home to Tottenham Hotspur. This one is the early kickoff. It's at 6 o'clock. Monaco are priced up at 11-10. The draw 21-10. Tottenham are 14-5. Obviously coming off the back of a pretty impressive win at the weekend. Spurs, do they follow up in the Europa League here?
Yes, I think they do. You can tell by my hesitation there that I'm not massively confident. And the only reason I'm not massively confident in them doing it is because they don't do an awful lot away from home. Mm. Yeah, you look back at even their successful Europa League performance, you know, seasons. You know, the wins are kind of the sporadic. You know, they won at AEL in August of last year. They won at Asteras Tripolis at Tripolis in November of last year, but lost to Besiktas, lost in Fiorentina, drew with Partizan. You know, so I don't get too worked up by them. Monaco are having a shocker. Lost to 3-0 to PSG, which is fair enough. But lost 3-2 to Lorient as well at the weekend in their last home game. So yeah, I'm not massively keen on them. Drew 3-3 away at Guingamp, the 10th in Ligue 1. And when you look at Tottenham's form, you know, you mentioned that result there. That 2-1 defeat to Arsenal in the League Cup is actually their only defeat since they lost to Manchester United. So you're looking at, you know, a run there of 8 games, 1 defeat, 3 draws, admittedly, when they went on that little draw period against Stoke, Leicester and Everton. But since then, they've won 4 and lost 1, beating Sunderland away, Crystal Palace at home, Carabag at home, the League Cup loss to Arsenal, and then that tremendous win at the weekend. I was surprised, I must admit. I mean, I thought Man City was strolling around in the first half, and then suddenly that Dier goal, and then the other one straight after half time for Alderweireld, and they someone lit a fire under them, didn't they? Basically, team news is massive here. You know, I want to know what kind of team they're going to play before I start having my bets, because you know you're looking forward to. I mean, for instance, you know, is Kane now the Premier League guy, and you know Heung-min Son is the Europa League guy? If that is the case, then you know that's great, and you know, I think you latch onto him because, as we saw from Kane, it's a great springboard for someone to start scoring their goals. Monaco are a good team, but they're open. And I think there could be goals in this game. You know, so you look at the price, 21-10 for Heung-min Son, who did great in that previous game. I like him as a player. Everyone was raving about him before he came to Tottenham. I hadn't seen an awful lot of him in truth, but I think he's a good player. Christian Eriksen, I think he's just starting to, you know, find his form again after coming back from an injury. He's 14-5 to score at any time here. I'm going to leave the outrights alone, although I think, you know, Tottenham at 14-5 does give you a bit of a way in on like a double chance bet or even a draw no bet. The 13-8 draw no bet, Tottenham. Odds on for the plus one or the double chance. But I'll steer clear of the outrights here. I think they could bring something back, Tottenham, but I'll play Heung-min Son to score any time at 21-10.
Yeah, very much want to keep an eye on the team news. If Harry Kane plays 2-1, you think that's a good price?
Standout. I love that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he will.
No,
I see no reason for him to play, really. But if he does play, love that 2-1.
And likewise, Heung-min Son, we've seen he's a goal scorer already. 21-10. Sorry, it's not a bad price either. So no. Whichever one of those two starts. If both of them start, you've got a headache. But whichever one of those.
If both of them start, I'll still play Kane, personally. But yeah, so I mean, I don't think Monaco are anything to be scared of. I don't think Ligue 1 is anything to write home about. You know, PSG are obviously a chock full of talent, and Monaco have got good players. But you know, they went to Anderlecht and drew 1-1 in the opening Europa League game. That's not great, is it? Let's be fair. So yeah, Tottenham. I'd love to see Tottenham get a result there. I'll just play on the goal scorers.
Liverpool against Sion next. Is it Sion?
Yeah.
Liverpool 4-7, the draw 14-5. Sion are 5-1. Things are turning around a little bit for Liverpool. A 1-1 draw with Bordeaux in the first game in the Europa League. 1-1 draw with Norwich, maybe slightly disappointing. Struggled past Carlisle, but at the weekend they were full of goals against Aston Villa. And the player side, who have lost their last two. Also, Sturridge, if he plays, I know it's team news again to check, but they've got a real threat back.
Yeah, definitely.
Did Liverpool win this? This has got to be a good game for them, hasn't it?
Oh, they've got to win, haven't they? I mean, you can't lose to Sion at home. I mean, I know there was all this kind of stuff about the Swiss football and all that, but it's not great. I mean, we see quite a bit of it now, don't we? We see, you know, we see young boys quite a bit. We see Grasshopper now and again. Baal, obviously, frequently in the top European competitions. Sion are a bit of a new one to us. They're currently laying fifth in the Swiss Super League with 14 points. Scored 13, conceded 13. Probably typically open. What we've learned from Young Boys and Baal is that they are open teams. We get lots of goals in there. I mean, actually, this weekend they played each other 4-3 to Young Boys at home. So you know that's what they are. That's the kind of football you get. And I think that'll play into Liverpool's hands, being that open. They haven't been in European competition since 2011, Sion, when they went to Celtic actually and lost 3-0. And were beaten 3-0 away by Celtic as well. So, yeah, I don't think they've improved massively. They did beat Rubin Kazan 2-1 at home in their opening game, which is a good result. But, yeah, I mean, you look at this group, Sion, Liverpool, Bordeaux, Rubin Kazan. You have to be topping it. If you've got any pretensions about getting further in this group, then you must be topping this group and you must be beating Sion. If, look, if... I think if Sturridge plays, and I hope he does to get some match fitness back, if Sturridge plays, I'd be looking at him on the scoring two or more front, 9-2. Scored two against Aston Villa. I think Aston Villa would be a better team than Sion. Maybe not quite as confident as Sion might be, but yeah, I think two or more at 9-2 is a nice price there for Daniel Sturridge. Remember, if he does score one and goes off and subbed at half time and his replacement scores, you still get paid out on your two or more for Sturridge at 9-2 with the super sub. 25-1. If they score a few goals and he gets two and goes off, your sub comes on and gets one. 25-1 hat trick. I'm desperate for that to happen. I was looking this weekend to see if Walcott had been. I didn't know who had scored. I was out and about on Saturday, and I saw Walcott had scored. I was looking to see, you know, what the situation was, and the Sturridge. I was thinking, oh, Sturridge has gone off, and someone's got an extra one. Sooner or later, that's going to land. I'm going to crow about it forever. I thought Ings has been really good as well, though. I think he's been bright when he's come on. You know, he's 10-11 to score at any time. I think Liverpool should be winning this comfortably. The minus one's 11-8.
Yeah, I'm going to mention that next.
2-0, 3-1. See that happening.
They should be winning the game by that.
I mean, I'm really surprised that they're 4-7 when you're looking at Arsenal being 2-5 against an established Champions League team.
Yeah.
But there you go. They'll win this.
I mean, Liverpool winning over 2.5 goals is 5-4. That's not too bad.
Not bad at all. I mean, Sion's away. We're going back in time here. They've been in the Europa League a couple of times. They've never won an away game. They've drawn three away games in their European. Europa League history at Fenerbahce, Riyadh, who are an Austrian team, and quirkily enough, Riyadh before that as well. They played them twice. Nothing to be worried about at all.
Liverpool should win that then. Final game we'll look at is Celtic against Fenerbahce. Celtic are 17-10. The draw is 21-10, and Fenerbahce are 17-10. Celtic sitting second in the Scottish Premiership. They take on Fenerbahce, who's at top of the Turkish Super League. Not an easy team to play against either, Fenerbahce. So,
no.
what do we think of Celtic here? They wobbled a little bit of late.
Yeah, I mean, we put up the overs and the goals last time they were in Europe, and that was ended up being 2-2 away at Ajax. I thought Ajax would actually win the game, to be fair, and they got a pretty late winner to keep Celtic at bay. At home, you know, we always say that they're a much better team than they are away. Celtic got that 3-3 draw against Inter Milan, of course. They did lose 3-1 to Salzburg, remember, in November of 2014, the competition. You know, obviously they ended up going out to Inter in the end with that 1-0 win in Italy. But yeah, this season, you know, they'd be looking to start off strong here. Fenerbahce, no mugs though, top of the Super League table, 13 points from the 5 games. You're looking at the form just in general so far. Did lose to Beşiktaş at the weekend. 3-2 it was in the end, with a relatively late winner for Beşiktaş, but obviously Beşiktaş are a good team as well. Lost to Molde at home in the opening game. I was really surprised by that. And you just wonder where Turkish football is. Because I would have, if I said to you, Mark, which league is better, the Scottish or the Turkish, I'd probably have said the Turkish.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if, you know, I wonder if that's slightly changed. I mean, I must say the Celtic League is, I've been a little bit more impressed with it. You know, it's almost like the omission of Rangers has managed to bring a few other teams back. I don't know if Celtic have dropped down a level because of the omission of Rangers not being there, or if the other teams have risen to risen to a level of Celtic. But that Molde result was a big surprise to me. I mean, this is Molde. You know, we're not talking about, if we add into that... Where's the Norwegian league? How are they winning 3-1 in Turkey when it's such a hard place to go, etc., etc.?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been scratching my head about this. One thing I can't believe is that Celtic are 17-10. It's a big price. Why are they the same price with home advantage? We know what Celtic's like on a European night. I've got to play Celtic on the win.
It's tricky. You put Besiktas or Fenerbahce or Galatasaray in the Scottish League, they win it, or they're the top three in the league. I think the Turkish League is still has stronger teams than the Scottish League at the moment.
They've got a decent away record in European competition. Fenerbahce don't score many goals, but just on the Molde result has worried me. Where is their focus? So I'm going to go Celtic 17-10.
Best bet in any of them? Do you have one?
It's a tricky one, that. I'll tell you what I do like. I'm going to go with the Arsenal to win and both teams to score in the Arsenal-Olympiacos game. I still think they're susceptible in defence. And I do. I also like the over 2.5 Man United-Wolfsburg as well. But I'll stick with the Arsenal to win and both teams to score 2-1.
All right. Superb. Good work, Lee. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy this week's football.
Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.